You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Psalm 33. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, again, bowing head and heart in your presence, Spirit of God, honor your word and do that which you alone can do to help us, move us, motivate us, enable us to honor you the better, even our Lord, even you, our Heavenly Father. And our God, we're going to thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing. In Christ's name, amen. And in our study, at Christmas on this day, if you'll notice in Psalm 33, sliding down, if I can, to verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Again, God in verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. And God being the only God and the only Savior, unquestionably the only Creator. Creator, creation, speaking awfully loud about the Creator. In every aspect of creation, the Creator is wonderfully to be understood. His awesomeness beyond all awesomeness. And therefore, God, in your plan and purpose, you planned and created us in your image and likeness to be able to honor you and know you. And you did all of this in your plan before the foundation of the world, before angels, before anything. You determined to go to the cross and die for our sins. We haven't even been born. We aren't even created. But it's your plan. And God, it involves us humans. It involves you becoming like us, that we could become like you in a most awesome way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, let all the earth fear and tremble before God. But it doesn't, but it ought to. Over to Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Now God, as we just are going to consider you, you're going to think about you for a few moments again and understand, God, that you're God. And I need to get some help, God, so that's why we're reminding us by reading your word so that we can know about you. Otherwise, we don't know. So Isaiah chapter 55, picking up, if I may, in verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Keeping in mind that God is God. For verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. How so? Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Higher, absolutely, infinitely higher. So God, we're trying to come to grips with who you are and what you do. Now, how are you going to do that? I'm going to do that in a most wonderful way. I'm going to make it so that you will be able to come to grips with who you are, God, and your marvelous person, in having no beginning and no end, all of the trillions of galaxies and stars are in the middle of you like a little speck. And here we are, now God looking. Now God, how are we going to know you, such a God? We can't even see and come to grips with the galaxies, let alone anything else. Now God, you're going to do that. I am, in a most awesome way. I'm going to make myself known so that you can understand me and honor me and know me. My ways and my thoughts are way beyond your reach, but I'm going to help you. Now, and therefore, verse 10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So God, here you are, your ways and your thoughts are higher than the heavens, and you've given us your word that we could come to grips, even a starting point, with who you are and what, so we can come to grips with you. And you've given us your word, which is going to be honored because it's your word. Now, over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians in chapter 3. And you would recall, when we come after the cross, the days of the apostles, etc., Ephesians chapter 3, God, you're going to say it again to us, your awesomeness. Now, in verse 20, chapter 3, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Verse 20. God, we can't, if we're going to try to understand it, no. Are we going to ask the right questions? No. Sometimes people ask, you know, depending on your whatever you're doing, and someone asks to you, do you have any questions? And then you may say, like I say, if I just knew the right questions, I'd ask them. But I don't know the questions to ask. Now, God, here we are, above all that we can ask or think. That's awesome, God. Absolutely awesome. Now, God, we're to look to you, and we're to know you in a unique and wonderful way. And God, you've made it possible by way of our Lord Jesus Christ, dying on Calvary's cross, being born in Bethlehem of Judea. You have made it possible for us to come to grips with you in an awesome way, a marvelous way. You couldn't have done it any better for us. If anyone should understand, we should understand. Now, so therefore, Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9, if I may. And you would recall in your thinking, understanding. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. God, you already said how you're going to do everything anyway. Just think of Sunday school. And in verse 6, 9, 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, so here's a child born in Bethlehem of Judea, but God, the incarnation, God, you put on a human house by way of the virgin birth of Mary. And you, so therefore, God, that you said a child is born painstakingly in the human, most human way, for us, unto us, in our direction, we're to be the general, to have a participation, a personal participation. A child is born unto us, a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Wonderful, a wonder, incomprehensible, beyond human understanding, extraordinary. He's an extraordinary person, extraordinary, wonderful. And he's the counselor. He counsels without any counsel. He's able to go and answer anything and everything in his all-wise, all-knowing, most awesome, omniscient way. He's able to do it. He's a marvel of a counselor. Now, God, we're looking at the child that is born in the little Bethlehem in a manger. That's right. And he is wonderful. He is the King of Kings. He's wonderful. He's the Counselor. He's the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So if you were a Jew living in the day of our Lord Jesus, when our Lord said over and over and over and over again, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Do you understand? God in the flesh. God putting on a human house in order to help us understand and know. Why us? Because we were created in his image and likeness, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. We're created in his image and likeness in order to be able to know and enjoy God. God looked, and he wanted to, when he made humans, Adam and Eve and us, when God looked, he wanted to be able to find himself, to see himself. That's what God wanted. He created us for God to look and enjoy, and for us to enjoy in the process, like the vine and the branch, to enjoy in the process a relationship to the Creator, a personal, awesome relationship to God, the only God there is, in whose presence we are at this point always. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7, you recall. And just picking up just the mood and the movement, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which that is, Matthew 1:23, God with us. Now, so here we are looking God, and you're going to go and do a most wonderful thing for us and in us. That's what you're going to do. That's right. I'm going to have you understand. Now, how are you going to help us come to grips with this? By way of his wonderful birth in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, and that's the sign. A sign, a virgin is going to be with child, and the child is going to be born in Bethlehem. Remember, Micah chapter 5, 2. And though thou be little, Ephrata, little, very little, insignificant. Well, we might as well turn there, you're right here, why not? Micah chapter 5 again. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And you will note, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. He is the eternal God in the flesh, wonder of wonders, counselor of all counselors, Father, God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, said our Lord over and over. So in order to understand, in order for us to come to grips with God's wonderful, wonderful person, God, you're going to go, and you took and have Israel to be a very special people. And remember, Israel is picked. Why is Israel picked? Deuteronomy chapter 7. Israel is picked because they're the fewest, smallest nation there is. You could have picked something out of Egypt. No. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah. I picked the smallest people, the least significant people, to make them the greatest people. Why did you pick the least? Because here's the magnificent nations of Egypt and Babylon and all of them. Wow! And you pick this little place, a special place, the middle of the earth, Palestine, a city. And you pick this place to take this people and use them and raise them up. And out from them shall come the one from the foundation of the earth, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He's going to come forth. Yes. And you'll pay attention, because I made it not the great big Egypt or something. I took a little people in a little place in the center of the earth. And you know, I have the attention of all of the earth moving up to where we are right now. What do you know? All of the nations of the world with their China and Russia and South America, all of them. But you all know what? There's a little place over there, not very big at the moment. Gaza's over here. They got a little stretch, a little piece of property. And here's a nation that's the centerpiece of the whole world. And everything is governed by what they do and how it goes. Just a little nation. That's right. Just a little nation. Now, hang on to that. A small people. Wow. So God, here we are, looking, and you have gone and taken your special creation, a very special nation, to have a very special people, a very special people, in a very special place, to have and give birth to a very, very special person, our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the process, his nature and his name, his counselor, etc., etc. And no one, think of John, we might as well turn there, why not? The Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John in chapter 1. And you would recall and if I may, picking up the thought in the light of the Word becoming flesh and dwelt among us, 1:14, verse 1, the Word was with God, the Word is God, with God was God. Verse 10, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world. The world was made by him, up in verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. If anyone should have been ready for the Messiah, they should have been, but they rejected him. The world didn't care, and therefore, you said, wonderfully so, that's where we fit in, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, the right, the privilege, the authority, to become sons or children of God, even to them that believe in his name. So God, you gave a wonderful, wonderful thing, made it possible that in a little town, with little people, a little lowly girl, very, very insignificant, you did it so that we could know you. Now, you picked this woman, this Mary, young girl, virgin girl, over, if you would, Luke chapter 1, verse 37. And why did you pick her? Because she's just nobody. You don't know her. Who is she? Has a big name? No. No big name. Nope. You had never, God, you were looking what? Like in David, 1 Samuel, looking at the heart. That's right. I took that girl. She was the right line in the line of David. And I took her. Why? Because Luke chapter 1, and in verse 37. For with God, what did she say? For with God, nothing, that means a word, nothing a word, shall be impossible. In other words, nothing, a word, slash, comma, word. With God, a word shall be nothing. God, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Every word that God speaks, think of Isaiah 55, verse 10. The word of God, like rain coming down, snow. God keeps his word. God means what he says. He says what he means. That's right. Now, God, what did you understand? Mary, verse 18, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. God said, remember now, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And she hears that, and she says, verse 18, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angels departed from her. Now, what did she believe? God. She believed God. She wasn't married yet. She could have a baby. That's what she believed. And God said it, and she believed it. Was she a great theologian? No. No, she was a simple child of mankind like us. And God said something. He had authority to say it. His word will not return unto him void. He meant what he said, and she believed it. God was looking for that. Looking for someone that would give him credit. He says what he means, and means what he says. Wow. Now, hang on to that little bit. And, picking up, please. Therefore, in Luke verse 34... Just go back a little bit ahead. Luke 1 and 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and his power, the power of the highest, shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And she believed. That's all. She just believed the wonderful, wonderful words of God in a most wonderful way. And therefore God, so maybe impossible, but not when God says it. Therefore, angels, Israel settled in a state of unbelief, and they would not receive him. But here's a woman that would. A woman that would believe, a simple, ordinary girl, in a most ordinary way, for the most extraordinary thing to be born, all seed of the woman, all by herself, no man. God, the child's going to be fatherless when it comes to humans. God, he's the perfect human. Perfect humanity, perfect deity, going to be in one marvelous person in a most marvelous way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and that God is going to humble himself down and to become a little, come into that child, and he's not going to have due for any, he isn't going to exalt himself. Philippians, we did that. You might as well turn there again since you're looking at that. He's not going to do anything to give him some special, extraordinary something. Nope, he's going to come in the most simplest way, little simple way, little, hardly even going to notice it. Uh-huh. Wow. And he's going to come in the weakest of way, the weakest of ways. So God, why are you doing that? So there'll be no question. God, when you said you would take us in your own body on the tree and die in our place, the perfect substitute, the perfect Savior, the perfect solution. You would die in our place. Are you going to identify with us? I am. How much? You're going to come as a big giant and then die? No, no. I'm going to become as a little baby. I'm going to be just like you. I'm going to be born from a woman's womb, just like you. So there'll never be a question about my identification with you. I identify perfectly with who you are and where you come from. I'm going to be just like you are, so that you'll know when I tell you that I am the perfect Savior for you. You better believe it. You better believe it. I am fully in line with who you are, and I'm dying on the cross for your sin. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, a slave, and was made in the likeness of men, etc., etc. Wow, God, you're going to do that in a most awesome way. Absolutely. You're going to go and humble yourself with no reputation. What do you mean, no reputation? Well, what kind of a reputation does a little baby have? What kind of reputation does a little baby have that's born in Bethlehem in a manger, a feeding stall? No reputation. What could you do? God, you chose to what? You chose to put yourself in that a child is born, a son is given. You chose to make that relationship possible for us. Uh-huh, I did. In order that, what? That you would understand that I am the perfect substitute, the perfect Savior to save you. If anyone is going to identify with your sin, sorrow, and suffering, I am. I know all about it. I died on the cross to save you from your sins. Now, so God, a little baby. But what's the little baby do? It can't say anything. No. No. How can that be? A little baby, it can't say anything. But you're the Word. You're the Word of God. You are the Word. You are God. Limited to the little baby. Make the baby. No, no. Baby's just a baby. The most the baby will do is cry. That's all. Now, God, you're doing it. I am. I am. And you know what? And the Mary, the mother, is going to pick up that little baby, God, and hold him and feed him. But that's God. Aha. Uh-huh. Yes, it is. Absolutely. 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 God. You humbled yourself. I got to tell you. And boy, did you make your point? You became just like us. That's what you did in order to save us. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, over if you would please to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, God, you did that. That's awesome. And I'll tell you, now, if you with us, in case I don't ever get there. Now, that little baby and God in the flesh, God made it possible for you to receive him as your personal Savior. And if you're sitting there and you've received Christ as your Savior, God, in his infiniteness, is in you. You're saying, in the baby. I made it in the baby so I could be in you. Now, are you all jumping out of your seat? No. It's rather hard, isn't it? That's what Christmas is all about. That God, we're in his presence, his awesome presence. It's all about you, God. Can it be? Back to the little baby born in Bethlehem of Judea. If you understand how simple and wonderful I identify with you, the little baby, just like you, just like us, the little baby, that's what I want. Do you understand? You're one of them. I died for you. Wow. Hang on. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. Picking up, please. In verse 9. Thank you. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich, that you might be able to have what he doesn't have. What you and I don't have is life. And God went, and God has life, but he was born to die. You were born to live in order to know him, if you would. Now, so God, here we are looking, and for our sakes he became poor. His poverty, his wonderful, wonderful poverty, so that we could enjoy his wonderful, wonderful riches. Now God, and he humbled himself to make all of that happen. Now you want to say, does God care about me? Is God able to help me? Absolutely. God said, a little baby in his weakest, helpless, totally dependent on us humans, little baby, and God in his wonderful weakness, born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, and he was clothed and wrapped in swaddling clothes as we shared together. Bound in a baby. God took the baby, bound the baby in cloth. God bound the baby in cloth and bound the baby in God. God, you took, and the baby, you bound yourself in that little baby. You did that. And an awesome thing. You did it for the wonderful thing that you could demonstrate. Your wonderful power in weakness. And think of 1 Corinthians. In his weakness. In the weakest thing God could ever do, born in Bethlehem of Judea, to show his power. 1 Corinthians, his power. In the smallest thing. Now, you know all that. Just think of a little acorn. A little acorn, if you plant the acorn in the right place, and the acorn can become a mighty oak tree, etc. Wow. God, you took the jawbone of an ass. I did. And I killed 1,000 Philistines. Just like that. I took a little baby, and I took a little baby, and I had the little baby grow and become a man. And the baby became a man. Hear ye my son, this is my beloved son. in order to go to the cross. I did that in the weakest thing. I took nothing. Nazareth, Bethlehem, crucifixion, outside the city, everything. Everything of the world system rejected me. And I died for the world system to get saved. But the world system didn't want to get saved. But then, whosoever would believe, I would save. Now, God, here we are, just this little old people, small stone sling, empty water pots, God. Nope, you never use big things. You don't use the jolly being big green giant to overcome. Nope, you just do what you do. God, on the cross, you said it, just thinking. God, on the cross, you said it. If I wanted, I could have 12 legions. That's a whole lot. I could have 12 legions of angels right now to take care of this whole situation. And all I would need is one angel. Just one angel. But I could take 12,000. Wow. Or 12. Wow. Didn't make any difference. Wow. Now, God, so here you are dealing with us in your wonderful omniscience. You know everything. What can the baby say? The baby can't even spell. Baby can't even speak a word of at that time. But in your omniscience, there you are. You are limited. You know everything, all-wise, wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, Father of Glory. And there you are, the little baby. That's right. That's right. In my omniscience and in my omnipresence, the power, in my knowing, my presence, I occupy everything. There's no place in forever that God is not. Wow. Wow. And you're in that little baby. Uh-huh. Wow. That little old baby, that's right. And God, in your wonderful kindness, in what you do, the baby cries, and the world didn't take note. But they should have. They should have. Christ said, the Lamb of God, think of the John the Baptist, the Lamb of God, John 1:29, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's why he became a little baby, to be a perfect, the last Adam, to identify with all of us, children of Adam, in dead in sin, and you came to die on the cross to save all of us. That's right. That's right. When I saved Adam, I saved everyone in Adam. And therefore, just think of Sunday school. God, you've died for the sin of the world. That's correct. So that whosoever, Adam, Cain could have believed, Abel did believe, all the way down the line to here we are, we can believe. Because you died on the cross for our sin. And you did that in a most awesome way. So that you're going to show your wonderful grace by way of your child. Now, God, we aren't paying attention to your child. It's just a Christmas. We have little people have little mangers and stuff, maybe. And we have all of that, and we try to remember it's your birthday. Mm-hmm. Your birthday, that's right. Now, and therefore, God, we don't seem to pay attention. Well, God said, let me help you. When I went to the cross, when I died on the cross, I was born to die, to go to the cross. And in going to the cross, do you understand? Now, did people pay attention when I was a little baby? No. When I became 30 years old, I began my public ministry. And then everyone had to learn to take note for 3 1/3 years before I go to the cross. Everyone take note. Well, we do. Ah, more so, I went to the cross. Very, 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 very public. You went and died on the cross. Oh, we'll put that aside. Ah, but you can't put it aside because I rose again. And there's an empty tomb and a risen Savior. The little baby is now affirmed and confirmed. Is the little baby God in the flesh? Absolutely. Absolutely. And you say, I don't want to believe. I don't want, it's impossible. No, not at all. Not at all. And God, what have you done? You've done something wonderful. He said, listen, I'm able to go and rise again. And you're going to have to figure out why there's an empty tomb, an empty cross, an empty grave, an empty tomb, and a risen God, the resurrected, wonderful person of Jesus Christ. And at his name, every knee shall bow in heaven, earth, and under the earth. Everything, everywhere, in every way, shape, or form is going to honor the little baby crucified and risen, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's what Christmas is about. With little baby, a risen Savior, an awesome God in a most awesome way. Now, and having said that, you remember perhaps the little illustration of the little boy, his father was away, gone. And the little boy and the mother were looking at the picture of his father, photograph. And the little boy said, as he looked, he said, Mother, I wish Father could step out of the picture so we could have him. God, here's your word. We're looking at it. God, born in Bethlehem of Judea, unto you is born this day in the city of David, etc. Wow. Now, God, here it is. I wish you'd step out of the picture. And he did. And I read about him, and I can know him. You have the same book, the same God, in a most awesome way. You can read. Unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. Simple. All you did, God. That's right. Right. Step out. God, where are you? Here we are. Here we are in your presence. That's right. Wow. 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 That's for Christmas. Wow. Had to be a little child. Had to be born in order to die. And he had to die in order that we could be born and have a spiritual birth to know him. For God to step out of his wonderful, wonderful book, his word. The only book in all the world. There is no other Bible. There is no other book. Nowhere. One God, one book, one Christ, one Savior. God said, listen, I don't know how simple you want it. I happen to be the only God, your Creator. And everything, just think of Sunday school, the simplest mousetrap. The simplest mousetrap with one little piece missing would not work. There had to be a creator to the mousetrap, to the flower, to your wonderful person? How do you think your heart, boom, and all of its functioning, awesome functioning, isn't it? I know you're all excited. Here's the blood flowing, your heart's beating, the liver, the pancreas, the lungs, all filtering. Aren't you all excited? You don't even know it. You don't even know it. Bless your heart. But it's real. Isn't it real? Most of you is real. God's real. Like the air is real. The air in you is real. God is real. Mary, what did you do? She said, God, you said it. Do it. Wow. Be it according to your word. Do what you said and save me. And he did. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and your kindness. God is just us. That's all. Just us. So deal with us. We think of the sick and the weak and all the different things going on. And God, but here we are, assembled together in your day, as you would have us in your word, to honor yourself. Thank you, thank you, thank you very, very much. If you should tarry and we should live even this night, our God. But here we are, so deal with us even at this instant in your grace and mercy. And our God, we're going to thank you that we can receive you as our Lord and Savior, that we can know you. God, that's what it's all about. When you start and when you finish and everything in between, it's just knowing you. God, you created us for your wonderful enjoyment, that we could enjoy you, and in our poverty that we could become rich, so that we could enjoy your riches. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.